This is Cindy Gomez-Shemp with 88.1 FM, KPPPLP, Fargo-Moorhead, coming to you with another important update from the Sacred Stone Camp at Standing Rock Sioux Reservation. Unicorn Riot reported that they have been steadfastly reporting coverage of the dynamics of what is going on at hashtag No Dapple Encampment since the Sacred Stone Camp was first constructed April 1st. On Tuesday, September 13th, Unicorn Riot journalists were arrested while covering a direct action providing context around the struggle opposing the Dakota Access Pipeline. On the next day, September 14th, police arrested a Northern Cheyenne man streaming to Facebook from the site of another direct action. However, a reporter from local corporate media who was also streaming to Facebook at the time, was not arrested. The crackdown on live streamers continued on September 18th when Sarah Long, an independent journalist, was recording live to her Facebook showing the continued pipeline construction around Site 118 following the halt that was declared by the District of Columbia courts that no construction would happen within a 20-mile radius of the Oahe Lake. And on this video, Sarah Long showed that on Sunday, 2 days after that decision in D.C. was made, that there was indeed construction continuing by DAPL within 20 miles of the Lake Oahe area. She was arrested for criminal trespass. It's not clear if law enforcement officials, according to Unicorn Riot, were targeting live streamers because of their political views or their ethnic backgrounds, but it is apparent that all media isn't being treated equally. The targeting of independent journalists by North Dakota law enforcement presents a clear infringement upon the freedom of the press to cover this urgent matter of public concern. At a critical moment, Unicorn Riot says on Tuesday the 13th, shortly before two of their journalists were arrested on site, Facebook blocked their video URL, and as they were starting to live stream police making arrests at the direct action site, their collective's members were immediately noticing that the full live stream event URL was being blocked by Facebook. Posts and comments with the URL immediately triggered pop-up security alerts. In an effort to circumvent these blockages, Unicorn Riot modified the URL through Bitly, shortening the link. The official Unicorn Riot page post was subsequently deleted by Facebook within few minutes. Unicorn Riot was able to verify that through the Facebook debugger was giving a warning that the live video URL violated Facebook's community standards. According to reporters at Motherboard, a Facebook spokesperson stated that the post was removed from Unicorn Riot's page after the platform's automatic spam filter mistakenly flagged their live stream link. Quote, the link was removed in error and restored as soon as we were able to investigate. Our team processes millions of reports each week, and we sometimes get things wrong. We're very sorry about this mistake, unquote. Facebook spokesperson. Unicorn Riot is deeply concerned about the implications of Facebook's censorship of their live stream URL on Tuesday. They were not satisfied with Facebook's explanation. Facebook was not disclosing the technical information, which would demonstrate exactly how the flag was triggered in the first place. They say that they lease a professional-grade service from Livestream, which provides videos that autoplay when they appear in Facebook users' feeds. Livestream and Facebook have a commercial relationship, so to offer up the excuse that a link from Livestream was accidentally flagged spam during the exact moment when militarized riot police were mass-arresting water protectors and their journalists seems very disingenuous, as at best. Facebook censorship. Unicorn Riot reports Facebook allows law enforcement to submit takedown requests for content and generally complies with those requests quickly and without much question. Facebook's willingness to remove evidence of police brutality has come into question before, recently when they shut down Corinne Gaines' live stream at the request of Baltimore County Police before police broke into her home, killed her, and shot her son. Facebook's known policy of banning content at law enforcement's request, as well as their history of censorship of radical news, such as the deletion of the Facebook page for the anarchist news site infoshop.org, makes it clear that the censorship, which took place on Tuesday, is not an isolated accident, but part of a larger pattern. Unicorn Riot cannot presently confirm that North Dakota's law enforcement contacted Facebook and asked them to censor the link to the live stream. They believe that that is a credible possibility. They have filed several records requests to relevant agencies to attempt to confirm or deny whether there is communication between the Morton County Sheriff's Department, law enforcement, and DAPL workers and government, between DAPL workers, but they have not received any of that information. Information, according to Unicorn Riot, needs to be made available on URL banning and law enforcement systems events in order to provide transparency around attempts by government or lobbying organizations to censor content. Social media platforms have a responsibility to provide their users notice of law enforcement requests, as well as preventing blockages against their competitors without hard proof of malware. Unicorn Riot is aware of design decisions made to ban competing rich media and video platforms such as Vimeo from Facebook's instant article platforms. Not to be discounted is the possibility of PR lobbying organizations such as DCI Group, which advocate for the Dakota Access Pipeline, using sock puppet accounts to fraudulently report URLs as spam to Facebook, which was similarly seen in a recent discovery of Twitter's sock puppets. Also, headlines to recent past events erroneously describe Unicorn Riot reporters as protesters, as media activists, or activist journalism. Unicorn Riot is an independent educational 501c3 nonprofit media collective whose mission is to report on and bring context to social and environmental struggles from the front lines. Using multimedia, they document realities and disseminate news stories to a wide-ranging audience. C.S. Hagen reported, Sarah Long, a citizen journalist, was arrested for trespassing on Sunday. She had her phone confiscated, was abused verbally, and law enforcement threatened to have her phone unlocked with software. The National Lawyers Guild and Standing Rock Sioux Tribe camp attorney Angela Bibbins said. Independent journalist Sarah Long, who was arrested for trespass when she was live streaming on Facebook evidence of DAPL construction continuing within the 20-mile radius of Lake Oahe, posted this message about her arrest and a message from her sister, Olowan Sarah Martinez, not her real sister, but her indigenous relative, whom she was jailed with. Olowan was part of the action that took place last week when literally everyone was kenneled and arrested for criminal trespass, including news media and medics. Olowan told me, this is Sarah's post, that videos showing the private security holding assault rifles pointed at protesters have been deleted, and further, that people who were fully standing on the public dirt road were arrested for trespass. They are trying to silence us again and again by violating our rights. This is how we fight back against that silencing. She sent this message to all of you. It is photographed below, and here is my transcription of the letter. Anpetu washte, beautiful resistors. Olowan miaye. I would like to share with you my understanding of what is happening around me. I must start by acknowledging my love for my ancestors, my children, and of course, for Minisose. I also pray my words reach you in good, strong health and spirits. As I sit here in Morton County Jail, I can see clearly that us sacred water protectors are the last of their problems. Through the tears, stories, and friendship shared with me by the beautiful women of the surrounding communities, I know I was meant to be here, and for that, I have no regrets. The heartache of a life tormented by abuse and mind, body, and spirit, the grief of love lost, death, and abuse, and the anger of feeling helpless and hopeless is limitless to creed or color. I've also come to understand that the threat to poison the Minisose, aka the Missouri River, is felt by all. Although the sacredness of our first medicine must always be stressed, it is always understood by those who choose to listen, and many are listening to Mitakuyapi, my relatives. I encourage all to keep up the battle to save sacred water through all tactics being used. Do not give up. To the surrounding communities of Morton County, open your eyes. Us sacred water protectors are thinking of your grandchildren's grandchildren, whether you want to believe it or not. We are not getting paid to be here. Everything for everyone, nothing for ourselves. Hashtag death to meth, hashtag death to dapple, hashtag alcohol is the enemy. Hesetuye, Olowan Sarah, Lili Red. Candy Mosset of the Indigenous Environmental Network reported from the Morton County and Mandan Correctional Facility. Protesters were met by a large number of police clad in riot gear. Free Olowan from Morton County Jail. Olowan is currently incarcerated at Morton County Jail for her defense of the water at hashtag no dabble action to stop the continued construction of Dakota Access Pipeline. The state is pushing for her extradition on charges connected with her resistance of White Clay, Nebraska, to stop alcohol sales from destroying her community. and they are attempting to hold her for weeks without proper representation or due process. The people of the event, Free Alowan from Morton County Jail, are asking everyone to bring their drums, their megaphones, and their war cries and songs and voices, their noisemakers, and let the state know that they will not stop until Alowan is free and the black snake is dead. They asked protesters to come to let Alowan know that they stand with her in their demands that all charges, not only against her, but against all other water protectors, be dropped. The background is Alowan is an Oglala Lakota mother and grandmother. She is a longtime indigenous land defender, water protector, and born and raised warrior. Her roots in resistance run deep and strong, far and wide, from liberation days to the sounds of resistance. She's worked to bring together the Women's Peace March, to organize with Mothers Against Meth, to protect Indian women from industrial man camps, and to stand in the way of resource extractive industries time and time again. Alowan is not only an indigenous land defender and water protector, she's also working to actively protect her community from the oppressions tied to drugs and alcohol. Alowan is a sun dancer, a pipe carrier. She is a spiritual woman, a mother to the movement, a teacher, a matriarch, and a mentor to the youth. Her war cry has brought so many to these front lines and many more. They don't leave their warriors behind, and they will not let Alowan become another missing and murdered indigenous woman kidnapped by the state. They will not let her become another statistic. Indigenous women are the largest and fastest growing prison population. Let's listen to some of the protest as reported by Candy Mossett.
Hey everybody, we are here in Mandan, North Dakota, outside of the Morton County Jail, where all of the supporters of Aloha have come to tell people to free Aloha. And so I'm here in Mandan, and I'm going to turn this around so people can see what's happening here on the ground. People are going to be walking from the jail here over to the courthouse. Again, we're in Mandan, North Dakota, outside the Morton County Jail, where one of our people, Aloha, is still in jail from being arrested on September 13th, when 22 people were arrested. 22 water protectors were arrested on the 13th, and on the 14th, 8 more were arrested. Aloha is still in jail, and so everybody now is marching over to the courthouse. We came here in a peaceful way, in a non-violent way, to plead our case, but then we were met with quite a bit of resistance. So people came from all over, from the camp, coming up here to support Aloha and let her know that we're here. But this is what met us here today, the resistance for our peaceful gathering. So this is the Morton County Mandan Combined Law Enforcement and Correction Center. It's pretty crazy that such resistance is met for people that are just trying to peacefully gather and just ask for Aloha's release and for the police to stop arresting our folks. Again, we're here marching in Mandan, North Dakota. We just left the Morton County Correction Center where Aloha is still incarcerated from September 13th. We're now going over to the county courthouse. And everybody is gathering. Oh, wow, there's still a bunch more cops over here now. So I'll turn it back around so you can see. They're coming in, they're filing in. So this is what we're met with outside the county courthouse. They're also recording all of the people. I'm sure they're going to use the footage here in the future. Everybody's here in support and just letting them know that we are here. It's peaceful. We've got little ones here. Got babies here. So we're here in a peaceful way to say stop arresting us for protecting our water. You can see they're filming up on top there, which in the past has not been good for us. Usually they film so that they can turn around and arrest people later on. But we were within our rights here to be standing on the sidewalk, so I don't see this as an arrestable action. Know that we're praying. We're here. Send prayers. Free Alowa. Visit our Facebook page. Thank you, everybody.
In related news, UND, home of the retired racist Fighting Sioux logo, which UND fought years to hold on to, had yet another racist incident. Etan de Maloke posted, I'm so livid. We all know racism is alive and well, whether you like to admit it or not. When said acts of racism happen at your school, it's infuriating and heartbreaking. My friend left her phone in her room, and these three kids pictured below took her phone and took the Snapchat picture featured. They captioned it with, "Locked the black bitch out." My friend was not aware that they had done this and didn't even realize that they had put this on her Snapchat story until another friend of ours pointed it out. The University of North Dakota needs to take action against the students' blatant act of racism. New York Daily News reporter Sean King tweeted along with a picture of UND students after they had locked out the black female student, stole her phone, and used it to post the racist message along with their picture mocking her on Snapchat. He also tweeted at UND, "Dear University of North Dakota, at my UND, it appears more of your students are up to no good. Your very few black students are at wit's end. This, along with the picture of a UND student in blackface." Please keep it tuned to 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo Moorhead, where we're adding local color to your airwaves. Coming up in this week's programming, we'll be bringing you interviews from our September 17th and 18th visit to camp. And here are some interviews from Standing Rock from September 17th and 18th. Hi, what's your name?
Adelali.
Huh? And you came here with your mom?
I came here with my mom.
So what do you think of this place? Do you like it here?
Yeah, I like it here.
Thank you.
How old are you?
2.
What did you learn about oil?
Keep it in the soil.
Wow, thank you for the interview. That was gorgeous. And what is your name?
I'm Sierra.
Where are you from?
Originally, I'm from Gallup, New Mexico. I've lived in the Twin Cities for 8 years now, and I work in the Native community there, and I just came up for the time that I could, which is a day and a half, but just wanted to be here and participate in the energy of the place and bring some love and take some love home.
Did you go through the roadblocks up, down the road?
No.
You came a different route?
I guess we did. I was expecting to go through a roadblock, but our navigator took us, or we came actually ended up coming in from the south.
So you didn't get to see any of that?
We took kind of a loop around. We saw one spot that looked like they might have had a checkpoint there at some point or something going on, but there was no one around. So, yeah.
And what do you make of that, the governor calling out the National Guard?
It seems tactical and ridiculous, you know, like, really? But you know that there is something behind that. You know, there's a very good reason why. And, we just kind of stand our ground, I guess, and try to show that there is no reason to be afraid.
Did you hear about the recent lockdowns in the construction areas where there's supposed to be a stoppage of construction, but apparently their construction is continued? Have you heard about the lockdowns and the recent arrests?
You mean like in the last couple days?
Yeah.
Yeah, all I heard was that they were starting to or just come in and arrest whoever, you know, just arrest to clear out, basically. So I did hear that that was going on. Yes.
And they've also got an arrest warrant out for Amy Goodman, and they arrested 2 Unicorn Riot reporters. Have you ever heard of anything like that happening before? I mean, it's something I
have. Not in this country. I will say I was around something like this in Peru, and, you know, people kind of, like, they were used to, well, there's nothing you can do against the government. But this is the first time I've been close to something like that in this country.
Yeah, I think so. It's a very strange phenomenon. So,
what may be the Trump riots or the Trump rallies? I don't know.
Trump riots sounds more correct. I think that was a good faux pas there. So what do you think that people need to know about this gathering that they might not know? Because there's a lot of folks that are afraid to come here and see for themselves what's happening. What would you say to those people?
I think that people, I think that people need to know that this is a spiritual place, you know, and that, and when you come into a spiritual place, you know that there is unity, you know, there's a lot of love, and there's a lot of positive energy that people are, even when we rolled in, you know, like there was absolutely no harassment, no criticism of why are you here, what are you doing here, you know, people were very helpful. Our van got stuck in the mud, and people just jumped up to, hey, you need some help, you know, and that's always been my experience when I'm around the Native community, and when people are gathered in a place, you know, that's what comes out is unity and love. And I was not afraid at all to come here, and I don't see any reason to feel that way.
Thank you very much. So now I want to talk to you folks. Tell me your name.
My name's Aaron.
And your name?
Mark Jensen.
And where are you guys from?
I'm from Minneapolis.
And you, Mark?
I'm from Minneapolis, too.
So why did you make the trek all the way over here?
That's a long story, but, you know, I'm currently a program director with a nonprofit organization called Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light. So we're working with faith communities around the state of Minnesota to build a climate justice movement. And so I've been involved in pipeline kind of that struggle and the tar sands, you know, tragedy and atrocity that's happening in Alberta. And one of the things that we talk about in our organization is that there's not the crises that we face are intersectional, you know, in terms of the environment, in terms of race, in terms of economics. And for so long, those things were siloed. And I think that that has really inhibited our ability to respond to what's going on. And so for me, I am like near tears constantly with like such gratitude and joy that this moment is happening, you know, and that it's being led by Indigenous people whose very spirituality and culture deeply informs every step that they take and all of the work around, you know, the environment, and have the biggest right to be saying no to this. So I'm here this weekend, but will be part of the intersectional climate movement back in the Twin Cities that are working to support this, and we're doing solidarity events back in the Twin Cities as well. This next Saturday, we're going to be doing a Healing Justice Conference, and we're going to be meeting at Fort Snelling, which is the confluence of the Mississippi and the Minnesota River, and the sacred birthing place of the Dakota people. And Black Lives Matter is going to be there as well, and so we're going to be telling stories. Dakota people are going to be telling stories, and Black Lives Matter people are going to be telling stories about what this river means to them in the intersection of their stories. So if there's one thing that we're talking a lot about, that feels so hopeful, is this joining, you know, of movements together, which is the ultimate truth, right? Because everything is connected.
Absolutely. Well, you know, North Dakota is a state that is energy friendly. It's business friendly. That's, you know, you're a Minnesotan, so I am too, because I live right there on the border of Moorhead and Fargo. So I'm a Minnesotan because I'm in Moorhead. But we know that North Dakota is very friendly to business, especially to oil. And there's a lot of people, especially in the community where I come from, that are saying they're going to have to get that oil out of there somehow. And do you want it to be by rail? Do you want it to be on a truck? Because that's even more polluting and it's so disastrous. What do you have to say to those folks that say it's going to be safe?
Right. It's piecemealing a larger issue, which is that if we want to have an inhabitable planet, we absolutely cannot burn that fossil fuels, and we don't have to, because we have the technology in solar, we have the technology in wind, we have the infrastructure to make the kind of changes that must be made to switch to a renewable energy economy. And that's what has to happen, and that's where the sustainable jobs are. I'm also involved in the fossil fuel divestment movement, and it used to be like, yeah, you know, you divest from fossil fuels because it's the moral thing to do. Not only do you do that now, but you get better returns in the renewable energy sector now through investments. It's changing, so that it's a farce that is where the stable jobs are.
So Mark, Did you walk here today, or did you drive a car with oil in it?
We used oil. My son made fun of me because I stopped at their house last night to pick up our camp stove, and he's like, "So you're going to an event against petrol fuels, and you're using them to heat your water?" I said, "Well, we're in the in-between time." But yeah, we drove up here in a van. The three of us and our other family came together.
This is something. I was kind of being sarcastic there, but this is something that a lot of people are saying, that living in an energy dependent country, which we are right now, that we can't stand against fossil fuels being taken out of the ground. Do you believe that's true? Do you believe you're a hypocrite?
No, I mean, everything is incremental, and we have to work our way towards that. We drove a very energy-efficient van, so we're trying to do what we can to make the difference there. But there's an oil glut on the market. We don't need this oil, and the prices have gone down. There's so many other ways that we can get the energy we need, and we need to look at investing in those things as well. And, we're making little steps, but we need to continue to do what we can, and I think this is a big way that we can make that change. The other thing I really feel is that, I mean, as a Wasichu, as a white guy, you know, originally from Iowa, I've lived in Minnesota for years.
Oh, I am too!
Yeah! And, and do a lot of activism work, a lot with faith communities. I work in construction to pay my bills in a Latino construction company.
You have a job because, you know, a lot of the people that are talking about this camp are saying, those folks out there, they don't have jobs. That's why they can camp out there all the time. You're working, man?
Yeah. We're working all week long. But I knew, too, it's like, you know what? Even if the pipeline's the safest thing in the world, the fact that it's coming across treaty lands that was, you know, taken, even shrunk down from what was originally given to the Dakota people here at Standing Rock and the other tribes, means that it's just one more piece of theft, that they didn't have the right to have a say about what happens to their land. And to me, that's a bigger issue even than the pipeline, is their right of self-determination of land that was given to them and then was retaken and was shrunk down even more. And so we need to go back and look at all those, that line of never-ending injustices, and begin to say, enough is enough. And I want to say, too, to any other white people out there saying, feeling afraid of coming, this is not my first time I've been in gatherings with Native people, but any time I've been in a setting like this, there's so much welcome, there's so much love, there's so much peace. I would encourage you to come out, because all your stereotypes will be smashed and destroyed, because there's such a peaceful, as Sierra said, a spiritual place, loving and kind. So be here.
Now, I know that you guys are not from North Dakota, but if you could say one thing to the governor, the lieutenant governor, the leadership in the law enforcement in Morton County, what would you say to those folks?
Take off your uniform, put down your guns, and just come out here and visit and spend some time. Sit and listen to some stories. Widen your horizons and see things a little bit differently than what you're seeing right now, because you're not seeing the whole picture.
How about you?
Yeah, I would plead with them to recognize the true mission of the people that are here, and the personhood and the nationhoods of the people that are here, and to remember that they don't just work for the superiors' orders that are coming more from concerns about corporate interest, but for the people.
Thank you very much. How about you?
I have one more thing to say. I don't know what you're just talking about, but I just wanted to say that this is the front line. There's these kinds of movements that are going to create that tide to be able to turn. And it's the Native people who are going to lead that, because we hold the teachings of how to live off this land without dependence on fossil fuels. And so we are out here. We are leading the way. Come follow us.
Thank you. You had one more thing to say, too, right?
In response to that argument that you somehow don't have a right to protest against fossil fuels if you use them, I think about, I'm from the South originally, and so I think a lot about the slavery, in the anti-slavery movement and civil rights movement, and when you are infused in, stuck in a system that's oppressive, first of all, just because our whole economy was tied up in the slave industry did not mean that we shouldn't change it. And secondly, those people who are working to change it had to still wear cotton on their backs that were produced by slaves, you know, similar to how we still have to use fossil fuels, even as we create a new way.
Thank you very much. Very much appreciated.
Thank you so
much. Nice to meet you. Welcome to camp.
Thanks.
So let me introduce myself. My name is Cindy Azucena Gomez-Shemp. I'm with KPPPLP 88.1 FM. We are a low-power, non-commercial radio station in Fargo, Moorhead. And who are you, sir? What's your name and where are you from?
My name is Fidel. Fidel SMO. I live in St. Paul.
And what are you doing all the way over here?
I'm here supporting the Water Protectors. Water is life. I stand by what they stand for. I don't think we should put our water resources in a position where they could be contaminated at any point.
Well, there is a lot of people in the state of North Dakota, especially the leadership in the state, that's very friendly to commercial enterprises and businesses, especially the oil industry. There's been a boom here with the Bakken. And they feel that the oil has to go somehow. If it's not going to go in that pipeline, it's going to be on the rails, it's going to be in a truck, and that this is the safest way to do it. What would you say to those folks?
You can't eat oil, keep it in the soil. That's what my daughter tells me. Really, I understand that there's an interest that wants oil to move, and they want to move it via pipeline. I'm a pragmatic. I think it works in that if it endangers water sources, I think an alternative should be considered. It's like with that, there's really no recourse. I mean, yeah, you could clean it up, but how much life is going to be lost prior to the cleanup? And I'm talking of not just human life, because the effects on those, they could be downstream, but plant life, aquatic life, the biosphere, like, the earth is alive, in my opinion, and we should treat it as such.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing is that there's been a movement of people, especially indigenous people, mm-hmm. coming here from all over the country, all over the continent, all over the world. Mm-hmm. Over 200 indigenous nations have come here. And as we're seeing this, in the midst of this, there's an environmental disaster in the news almost every day. Georgia, Alabama just announced a state of emergency because pipelines burst in the water and there's hardly nothing in the media about it. Do you think that people that are trying to protect the water like yourself have a chance against these moneyed oil interests across the globe, across the country?
I truly and honestly believe we do. I mean, they have money because we buy oil. That's saying something. So it's actually our money.
That's a good point. So what do you want for people who are listening to this and have not been here, haven't experienced this? Some of them maybe because they're scared. You know, the National Guard's been called out. The governor's been saying that there's a lot of dangerous stuff going on here. What would you say to those folks that they might not know about coming to this camp?
I'm here with my 2-year-old daughter. I'm here with my 14-year-old godson. It's my family. We're eating turkey sandwiches. We're drinking clean water. That's what's going on out here. And really, if you drink water, support this, because it's water. It's water. It's going to flow from here to somewhere. If it's clean, people use it. If it's contaminated, it's still going to flow to where it's going to go.
This is a very good point. Thank you for the interview.
Nope.
Welcome to camp.
This is Annie Winter with KPPP LPFM Fargo Moorhead. And I'm here with, what was your name?
Ramona Strait Bickro.
Okay. Ramona, and then where are you from?
Rosebud Reservation.
Okay, Rosebud. And what made you decide to come here today?
Actually, we brought up our Suchango Youth Council, and they've been talking about coming up and just, like, seeing how everything's going, and because we've heard a lot about it through the internet and stuff, yeah. So we just brought them up to experience it, and, I mean, not to be really involved in the major stuff, but just, you know, how all the natives came together and be one unity family here.
Excellent. And how long have you been here now?
We just got here last night, and we're set up across the river over there on the Suchango land over there.
Oh, excellent. And did you have any trouble getting through the checkpoints at all when you came in?
No. it was good.
That's really good. So I don't know if you've heard about the news recently that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers basically allowed the people of Standing Rock to be on their own land. How do you feel about that kind of statement?
I think that's kind of good for them, you know? Because, I mean, this is all their land anyway, but just putting restriction and boundaries on them is, I think, was kind of wrong, and they should have asked before they were going. Just like whenever that happened with us with the Keystone Pipeline, we put a stop to that, too. So I'm hopefully that this works out for the best and they don't let the pipeline go through. Because these kids are our future, and they need good drinking water and things like that. So I don't think, you know, they should be building this pipeline anyway.
Absolutely. And if you could say anything to the people that aren't here that you would like them to know, what would you say?
I would really want the ones that are able to make it up here to come and see this, because this is what all our Native people, our Indigenous people are all about. We all come together. We're all from one creator. So I'm hoping, you know, if you can come up here, come up here. It's life-changing. It's a great experience.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Ramon. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Kato's from KPPP LP 88.1 FM radio. And would you care to introduce yourself for this interview?
For sure. I'm Kristen Wiseman, living in Minneapolis, Minnesota, currently.
I'm Kate Haig. I live in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Pleasure to meet you. So why are you here?
The water is going to help out with the water.
Well, there's a lot of reasons, but mostly it's because Native Americans haven't been supported in the ways that they should be, I feel like. And as a white person, I feel a lot of responsibility to bring that support and allyship.
I agree with that. I also, as like a person of color from South America, I'm Native South American. I have a really big support, you know, surrounding this area. So it's really important for me.
How does it feel to be here?
Wow, it's like a flood of emotions. But overall, it's just incredibly like grateful that everyone is getting together and like being so peaceful and gracious and unifying. Yeah, it's a great feeling.
Yeah, exactly. When we got here last night, we were tired, and we just had a bunch of people that just came in and welcomed us. We talked to some really great folks, just introduced themselves to us, and it's a great community.
So what are some good and bad experiences you had since being here?
I haven't really had any bad experiences yet. Yeah, I think it's depending on the person, but everyone's been very, like, sharing wood, sharing camp space, sharing, yeah, food. So it's really just, like, a community that you kind of lose when you live in a city, I feel like.
Yeah, no, I think the only bad experience is, like, the mud. Like, honestly, that's it. In terms of, like, people, community, like, everything's here, it's great. I felt extremely welcomed, and I feel so happy and to be in such a sacred place.
That's good. And then, let's see, my last question is, what do you want to tell the public that they don't already know?
That this is a huge deal. Yeah, it's a big deal. And, like, I feel like we definitely have our heads in the mud and don't realize how connected this is. All is to us as just humans of the earth. Yeah, and that, like, the more people that come, the more support and the higher chance that this is going to be stopped, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, water is life, exactly. Like, this is not something that just affects a certain group, it affects everyone, and we all need to come together and support it, along with all the other things we're not into.
All right, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, I'm Duke with KPPP Radio, LP 88.1 Fargo-Moorhead. What's your name?
Felicia Teeter.
Felicia, why are you here and where are you from?
I grew up in the Yakima Reservation in Washington State, and I now live in New Hampshire. And I am here... I'm here because it's time to be here. Like, we are standing in solidarity. I am here because the resistance is here and the resilience is here. And I am here because my flag is hanging up right over there as one of the first tribes that came in.
Excellent.
And I am here because this is beautiful and this could be the start of something big.
What do you want people to know out there that they don't know?
What don't I want people to know? But I guess about this camp specifically, I want people to know to just come. I think that is the biggest thing that we need. We need people power right now. If you come, you will be taken care of. You will be loved. You will, like, I think that what has been built here, like, it's not new to me because I grew up in the Yakima Nation, so, like, I'm used to this, but I know that most people aren't used to this. Most people aren't used to communal living. Most people aren't used to coming to somewhere with a bunch of strangers and instantly feeling like family and instantly being provided for, and I want people to know that that is happening here. If you are tired with the world as it is, if you are tired with your 9-to-5 day-to-day where no one seems to care about you and nothing is getting done and you are just like, I am fed up with the capitalistic society that I have to live in that is meaningless and pointless, come here. This is where the revolution is starting. This is where it is going to be seated. It is going to be seated with the original people who started the revolution, started the resistance, which are Native people. So if you feel any type of way, any type of anger towards the government or any type of just disenfranchisement, come here, because these are people who have been fighting that disenfranchisement since the beginning of our government.
So this is Annie Winter with KPPP LPFM Fargo Moorhead 88.1, and I am here with
Julia Lee.
Hey, Julia Lee, and where are you from?
Tacoma, Washington.
Okay, and what brings you here?
I just came up here to support what's going on for the protection of the water.
Okay, and what's been your experience so far?
That's been really good. We just got in this morning. We had a really nice drive up, and it was okay coming through the barricade and stuff. And everybody's been really nice, so it's been a good experience so far. But we're still exploring.
That's really good. So how long do you plan on staying?
We'll just be up for the day, and then we'll head back.
Okay, and then what so far has been the highlight of what you've seen? Of course, you've been here just a short while, but so far, what is most poignant to you?
The energy is really good. People seem really happy and uplifted and are really focusing on the prayer. And I wanted to see that for myself when I came up here.
Sure. And if you could say anything to anybody back home who maybe doesn't know what it's like here, what would you tell them?
Come and visit, come and support, or do your prayers at home. You don't need to be here, but, you know, it's good to protect our water. If you don't think you need water, you know, go ahead and turn off your water consumption and find something else this affects everybody, so support it.
Absolutely. Yeah, water is life. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you talking with us.
Yeah, no problem.
This is Duke with KPPP 88.1 Radio Fargo Moorhead. We're at Sacred Stone Camp, and we're here doing some interviews. So what's your name?
Hello, my name is Carla Ayala, and I am traveling from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Yes.
And how long have you been here?
I have been here for 3 weeks. So I got here the day that the construction company unleashed the dogs on the protesters, and I was actually supposed to meet with the AMT to bring a lot of donations, but they were really busy bringing all the protectors to the hotel to get them rinsed off because they had no access to other locations. Yes.
Wow, so you've been staying here in camp that whole time?
Yes.
Wow, you look so clean.
Yeah. I know, just, you know, baby wipes and, you know, just keeping clean. Yes.
Oh, 3 weeks, that's amazing. And we tried to do coverage what we could over the internet of what was happening. You know, when they released the dogs, and there's been a lot of white people in our community, and the media in our community is just demonizing people out here. You know, what can you say that's based on truth?
I think that in order for people to form their own opinions on this, they have to really be very involved in their community and come here and, you know, see what's really going on, because it's the media. Reporters and all that could be biased. The viewers can also be very biased, and it just depends on where they're getting their news source. And I don't think it's right for people in other communities to complain about what's really going on here, because the message is very clear. Water is life, and we're trying to conserve Mother Earth. And I, you know, the whole summer spent working, canvassing with Environment Minnesota to save the bees. As we all know, the bee colony collapse is very, very big. And if we don't have bees, we don't have food. If we don't have water, we won't live. And that's why I'm here, because I am, you know, I'm worried about the environment. It's a really critical thing that people should be very, very involved in. It's not just going to affect us. It's going to affect the following neighbors. And, you know, they're not going to have any clean water. And, you know, in San Francisco, in California, there you have, you know, restrained water. And in 12 years, not in 12 years, but in 10 years, our water will be like $12 or more. And right now it's a privilege that people can, you know, open their tap and get resources to drink water. But if this happens, you know, the pipes do leak, the pipes do explode. It just happened a couple days ago in Iowa and people were killed. So it's, I think it's very common sense that people should just, you know, stop being very, very... I think it's also very... racist in a way that they're not really paying attention to what's going on in the environment. They're just focused on the people and who they are, and that's not okay.
Definitely not okay. How long are you going to stay here?
I have to go back because I just got a job recently at a nonprofit organization, Casa Esperanza, which is a shelter home to help people who have been abused through domestic violence. And but I'm planning to come here every weekend and continue to show my support, because Minneapolis is only 7 hours away, and for me it's nothing, you know. Just hop on 94 West and come here, and, you know, for anything, just bring donations and all that.
Thank you very much.
All right, this is Nemo Cicados from KPPP LP 88.1 FM in Fargo-Moorhead. Here I have Janelle Durrington. And where are you from?
We're from near Springfield, Missouri.
We have a
farm in Dallas County, Missouri.
Nice.
What are you here for?
We are here because we heard about all of the people coming together, all of the cultures coming together, and we wanted to see what we could do to help.
And I have a small business,
and I happen to have a lot of tents and sleeping bags that I had sitting there. I was going to wait until next camping season, but I thought, hey, these people, you know, we can use them now. So I loaded up, and we brought my daughter, and we came up here to deliver them.
Nice. And what are some good and bad experiences that you've had since being here?
The good is just amazing seeing everybody working together. And when we first got here, my daughter saw people in line for this and that, and she said, oh, well, how much is this and how much is that? And I said, honey, everybody's coming together to get people what they need. But then on the other hand, the kind of a bad experience we had on our way up here, we had a pickup truck loaded to the gills, and then I had stuck a few more. When we went through Sioux Falls, I bought a few more boxes of medical supplies, trying to, you know, just pack as much on. And we got so close, we got about 10 miles away, and we lost the load that was on top. So I had Band-Aids and bottles of peroxide and everything scattered across the highway, batteries and all kinds of things. And so we were out there, and my little girls are helping with me. And even though the bottles had come up, you know, we wanted to pick up everything we could, and especially everything usable, but pick up all the trash and everything too. And no one stopped to help. There were dozens and dozens of cars. And I really thought, you know, a lone woman on the highway with a small child, I thought somebody might help us gather things up, and they didn't. And so, you know, that was a little disappointing maybe, but I know everybody was anxious to get up here like we were too. So.
Yeah, let's see. Did I ask already about what it's felt like to be here?
You know, for me, it's been just a really eye-opening experience. When I was younger, I had a little more liberty to go when I felt like I could be of some use in some cause somewhere. But since I've had children, I've really haven't done that. And so for me, it's really been, I feel like myself again. I feel like I'm doing some good in the world, and that's what I want to do. And more importantly, I have my daughter with me, and I hope that I'm teaching her to do some good in the world wherever she sees me.
Excellent. And what is one thing you want the public to know that they don't already know, you think?
I think the public needs to know, like where I'm from back in Missouri, everybody says, oh, that's a native problem, or that's a problem up north. And you know, it has nothing to do with us. We don't care. But it's going to be our problem so very, very quickly. And that, I think that's what people don't understand, that it affects us all. Aside from being the right thing to do and the right cause to support, which I strongly feel like we're on the right side of history here. But aside from that, I think just from a very personal standpoint, your farms are going to be out of water. They don't understand that they are not going to be able to continue life in the way they know it now if something isn't done now. So.
All right, well, thank you very much, Janelle.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay, so this is Annie with KPPP LPFM Fargo, North Dakota. And I am with
Joyce Dancing Willow.
Joyce Dancing Willow. And where are you from, Joyce?
From Connecticut.
Okay. And what tribe are you with in Connecticut?
The Mohegan tribe.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about what brings you here today.
Well, I wanted to come donate some stuff to the tribe here because we just wanted to come help and make sure they have all the things that they need until January.
Okay, that's awesome. And can you tell me a little bit about your tribe? Or perhaps one of the elders would like to tell a little bit about your tribe? I'm sorry, pardon?
What would you like to know?
Just what you would like our listeners to know about you.
Well, we're Mohegan Nation out of Uncasville, Connecticut. The Wolf people is what we're classified as. And we are one of few tribes that have a female chief. And there's 1,400 tribal members, not as large as the tribes that are out here, but there's about 1,400 of us. That's about all there is.
That's really excellent. So what's the significance of having a female tribal leader?
Our chief is probably one of the smartest people in the tribe. Her name is Lynn Many Hearts Malerva, and Many Hearts fits her. She takes care of all of us. We have a need, we go see the chief, she'll take care of it.
That's really fantastic. And would you mind telling me then what's probably been the most important thing to you about being here?
Just making sure everyone has what they need and that we don't have the pipeline in their sacred water.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. I really appreciate it.
This is Duke with KPPP, 88.1 Radio, Fargo-Moorhead, and we're here and we're talking to
Beth Kelly.
What brings you here, Becky?
I came here as the beginning and end of a spiritual journey that led me to believe that if we as a people come together and use our energy, we will be able to stop this pipeline. We will be able to change our society to where we can accept one another as a whole, just for who we are rather than what's on the outside of our bodies.
Definitely. And I see you're kind of helping out at the wellness space with the herbalists, and then right next door is the traditional medicine tent.
Yes, sir. Yes. This has been a boon for me, and I'm trying to give back to them through doing the menial tasks that they don't have time to do, like dishes.
Oh, great, and directing people like us that need help.
Oh, yes, and being a director, I guess, yeah, to the different people within the tents and that sort of thing. So,
you know, if you could tell people out there something they don't know, what would you say?
Oh, goodness, that is a good question. This is a wonderful, peaceful place to be, and they are doing great work here.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
A post from Linda Black Elk about donations for Standing Rock Sioux Nation. There are a lot of bad people taking advantage of our efforts and making money by claiming that they are buying donations or making a trip out here. So be careful. I've heard a lot of people criticize LaDonna Brave Bull Allard. I refuse to hear criticism of someone I know to be honorable and who always puts her people first. She's been accused of not sharing donations. This is completely and utterly false. I personally see thousands of dollars in supplies spread all through the camp. There is not $800,000 in someone's account, although that is approximately the amount that has been donated to all camps since April. The majority of that fundraising has been spent on supplies and is being spent to build an entire environmentally sustainable city from the ground up, literally. You see, your donations are not just going to supply a temporary encampment. They're going to help rebuild lives. We're getting permanent traditional housing in the forms of teepees with liners. We're also setting up gurs, yurts, Ojibwe longhouses, earth lodges, and some campers are even looking at cob and straw bale structures. We want to be completely wind and solar operated and off the grid by 2018. We're trying desperately to build green, large-scale water purification systems. We're trying to get back to the land in a good way. That takes time and people. And in today's society, it takes money. We can't do it alone, and all people are welcome on this journey. I also have concerns about separate camps and criticisms of separate GoFundMe pages for different bands of the Lakota and Dakota. For some reason, this makes outsiders think that we are not united. That is also false. For one, it takes the pressure off of LaDonna having to make sure funding is equally disseminated to every single person. It also means those camps are practicing a traditional method of taking care of their ospaye, their band, while still contributing to the greater oyate, the tribe. Listed below are sites I personally trust and know to be reliable. These will give the most impact for your donation dollars. If you have any questions, ask. Don't spread lies, misinformation, and rumors. If you want to send supplies directly, you can mail them to Sacred Stone Camp, P.O. Box 1011, Fort Yates, North Dakota, 58538, or Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, Attention Donations, P.O. Box D, Building 1, North Standing Rock Avenue, Fort Yates, North Dakota, 58538. To send supplies to the kids at the Defenders of the Water School, please purchase items on the Amazon wish list. Please do not send more school supplies. You can donate directly to the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe at their PayPal at standingrock.org/standing-rock-sioux-tribe-dakota. There's also a Sacred Stone Camp Amazon wish list. You can find all the information about these at the Sacred Stone Camp .org. There is a GoFundMe there for them. There's also a PayPal you can send money to at sacredstonecamp@gmail.com. Or you can contribute to their legal fund by going to sacredstonecamp.org. Red Warrior Camp also receives direct funding. You can donate directly to their legal fund to get representation for those who've been arrested and are physically attacked by Dakota Access. Find the Red Warrior Camp on Facebook. Oglala also has a camp and direct funding at www.gofundme.com/2PVYEZB8. And to help winterize the large Ocheti Sakoan camp and keep water protectors on site this winter, you can go to www.crowdrise.com/winterize-water-protectors-camp. To support Women's Healing Wellness and Birthing Center at the camp, go to www.gofundme.com/2MXPGGC. Please send medical supplies directly to Waste Win Young at 950 Meadowlark Street, Fort Yates, North Dakota, 58538. That's Waste, W-A-S-T-E, Win, W-I-N, Young, Y-O-U-N-G, at 950 Meadowlark Street, Fort Yates, North Dakota, 58538. Please send herbs and traditional medicines directly to Linda Black Elk, P.O. Box 924, Mobridge, South Dakota, 57601. Please keep it tuned to 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. Coming up in this week's programming, we will be bringing you interviews from our September 17th and 18th visit to the camp. To support our work here at the station, visit kpppfm.com and go to the donate button. Thank you for tuning in to this special report from Standing Rock. Mini Wichoni, water is life.